This is Statewide, reports and conversations from in and around Illinois. I'm Sean Crawford. This week, a statewide reporting project, the State of Cannabis. The state of Illinois considers making recreational use legal. We've found there are a lot of different opinions on the subject.
It should stay illegal because, like, when people take marijuana, they're not, like, aware of their actions.
I don't have very strong opinions against it, particularly, like, I don't use it personally, but, I'm still kind of doing research on it.
I think it helps people with different, you know, things that they're dealing with in their lives.
Also this hour, we'll hear how some feel marijuana is a safer alternative to opioids and can help slow that epidemic, while others see a financial benefit, creating jobs and economic opportunity. The State of Cannabis, coming up this hour on Statewide. Welcome to a special episode of Statewide. Normally, we bring you several topics. Today, we're focusing on one, the possible legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois. State lawmakers are considering the change and could vote on that before the end of this month. All of the public radio stations in Illinois joined forces to delve into various angles of the story. This hour will highlight what legalization could mean for the state and for you. We'll hear how some view it as having potential from a healthcare perspective, others see a financial benefit, and there are those who think it's a bad idea and oppose making pot legal. Our program, titled The State of Cannabis, begins now with several of the reporters who worked on this project giving a preview of what's ahead.
I'm Ryan Denham from WGLT here in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. My topic is sort of the economic development implications of whether or not marijuana is legalized in Illinois. We're starting with the medical marijuana program. So we're trying to measure the economic development impact and, any controversies that also arose as it relates to some of those communities. I'd say what surprised me the most so far with my reporting is in talking to some of the people that live in these smaller towns that have cultivation facilities for medical marijuana is how much of they think of this as an agriculture issue. I think when you think about the potential for legalized marijuana, it's so many things. It's a medical issue. It's a criminal justice issue. It's a legislative issue, policymaking. But like I was talking to the former Logan County board chairman who played an instrumental part in landing this facility. And he put it in terms of like, we're a rural agriculture community at heart. Corn and beans is what we had for the longest time. That was and is a big part of our economy. Now we're adding marijuana to that.
I'm Sarah Jesmer. I'm with WNIJ out in DeKalb. My topic really encompasses, it touches on the black market, it touches on the online drug trafficking market, but I also landed on a sort of gray market. So there are CBD shops, and CBD is legal to be sold in Illinois. Who buys that? Are owners of CBD shops or smoke shops that sell bongs, are they thinking about joining the market if it's legalized, and what does that market look like at the moment? So what I found most surprising was that CBD flower and CBD oil is being sold, but there's very little regulation about how much is actually in the product that you're buying. I've interviewed three different shop owners, and they all told me the same thing, is that the testing looks really different between these markets.
I'm Steph Whiteside with WSIU and Illinois Newsroom. My topic for this series is looking at medical marijuana specifically as an alternative to opioids when managing pain. So the biggest surprise that I've had in my reporting is how hard it is to get doctors to talk about this on the record. Before I moved to Illinois, I was in California, and in California, you can't get doctors to shut up about medical marijuana. I've called dispensaries, I've called people that have spoken out in the past, and just nobody will talk. I've met doctors in person that will tell me, this is really great. We're really excited about this program. It's a much better alternative than, particularly people who may need an opioid prescription. But when you follow up about talking on the record, it's just crickets. The stigma is much bigger in the community. I also think that a lot of the doctors might be willing, but the hospital systems or offices that they work for are not, in large part because they're worried about losing federal funding if it gets out that they are certifying patients to use marijuana.
I think what's important for people to know as policymakers debate this issue and it comes up more and more in the headlines in the next couple of months is It's a matter of trade-offs, I think. Potential legalization of marijuana is just one of those things. We are literally making a big, huge list of pros and cons and trade-offs. And hopefully that's what this reporting and this series is doing, is putting all those pros and cons in front of you so you can follow the issue and you can, if you want, lobby your elected officials, whatever you think weighs more, the pros or the cons.
A few of the reporters who've worked on this series, The State of Cannabis, from throughout the state of Illinois. And up next, we check in with WBEZ in Chicago, the reporter Susie Yon. She tells us when Illinois issued the first licenses for medical marijuana businesses in 2015, almost all of the recipients were white. Today, we look at what a more racially diverse marketplace might look like if the state legalizes recreational use.
When you walk into Soul and Wellness in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood, you're immediately engulfed in the scent of lemongrass.
I wanted to make sure that people get the ambiance of feeling comfortable, feeling more like home.
That's business owner Tiffany Reynolds. She sells medicinal products and helps people apply for a medical cannabis card. As a Black business owner, Reynolds is rare, even for an ancillary business that isn't as highly regulated as a dispensary.
I think that it was imperative for me to open up a business like this. One, because I'm able to educate my community because there's a lack of breaking that stigma because we still know that people frown upon cannabis.
She says it's a shame there are so few minority-owned medical cannabis businesses. If the state legalizes recreational use, she hopes people of color get a fair share of the multi-billion dollar industry. That's why the Chicago chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law, or NORML, was created. Kiana Hughes is education director for the group. She says when the state was just getting started with medical marijuana, she could easily spot all the Black people at industry conferences.
It would literally be like we were the maybe four or five chocolate chips and a big old bowl of vanilla ice cream.
Hughes says Chicago NORML trains and empowers people of color to work in the cannabis industry. She says none of the state's highly regulated dispensaries or cultivation centers are Black owned. There are several reasons for that. For one, the state requires dispensary applicants to have at least $400,000 in liquid assets and charges tens of thousands of dollars in application and licensing fees. Hugh says another major barrier into the market is the historically high rates of African Americans arrested on marijuana-related charges. That's resulted in people having a hard time finding a good job, getting student loans, or finding housing. Kathy Kane Willis is Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Chicago Urban League.
You cannot have the war on drugs target specific communities, and then when we flip the switch to a commercialized new economy, cut those same very people out of the new emerging market, the green market.
The state decriminalized possession of small amounts of weed in 2016, but according to data from the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, about 54% of the state's cannabis-related prison admissions in 2017 were African Americans. Willis says illegal sale and consumption of pot is relatively even across race groups.
That's really important for people to understand that just because Black and brown people were disproportionately arrested doesn't mean that Black and brown people were disproportionately responsible for the sales.
Chicago NORML has been watching other states struggle to fit racial equity into marijuana laws. When California went legal last year, the cost of entry into the market continued to be a major barrier. Lawmakers brought in additional legislation after the fact, like grant programs to start a business and easier ways to expunge low-level marijuana convictions. Kiana Hughes says her group has been meeting with any Illinois lawmaker sponsoring a recreational use bill.
To allow us to be something more than just legal consumers, but actual entrepreneurs and actual producers and people that are making money in this industry, you know, here are some things that should be written into any law that goes forward.
The group is proposing things like automatic expungements, lower costs to start cannabis operations, and apprenticeship programs. Hugh says they'd like marijuana businesses in blighted communities and for the tax revenue to be invested in the areas that were most impacted by the war on drugs.
If you're really looking to create this gold standard recreational use bill, then you can create a gold standard social equity program.
She says Illinois has the chance to get right what other states have gotten wrong. I'm Susie Yon.
Existing rules around the Illinois medical cannabis program could make the rollout for recreational use a less daunting task, but there are plenty of unanswered questions at the federal level, which could complicate the process. Chase Cavanaugh with WNIJ in DeKalb tells us more.
Illinois went green in 2013. That's when lawmakers enacted the Medical Cannabis Pilot Program for people with qualifying conditions. Now, the General Assembly could legalize recreational marijuana use. Northern Illinois University political science professor Mitch Pickerel says the strategy has worked in other cannabis-friendly states.
The move to recreational, because it expands it, has tended to happen where you already have a medical marijuana regime in place. And so that makes it a lot easier for growers and dispensaries to kind of work with the state and know how to comply with licensing.
Rose Ashby is a field director for the lawmakers who are sponsoring the measure. She says the biggest obstacle to legalization is the federal classification of cannabis under the Controlled Substances Act.
Schedule I drug tells us it has absolutely no medical value and it is highly addictive.
In 2013, then U.S. Deputy Attorney General James Cole released a memorandum stating the federal government wouldn't expend its resources to enforce federal cannabis law in states that legalized it. This is provided the states have strong and effective regulation on growers, dispensaries, and users. But DOJ rescinded the Cole memorandum last year. Pickerel says the ambiguity creates tension.
Whether it's medical or not, the fact that state law makes something legal that federal law makes a crime, and that the U.S. Supreme Court has said the federal law can preempt the state laws.
Ashby says this extends to parties that have business relationships with growers and sellers. Banks worry that doing business with the cannabis industry could put their federal charters at risk.
So cultivators selling to dispensaries, they pay in cash.
Debit cards are accepted at some U.S. dispensaries, but this can still be a barrier to the unbanked. The lack of transparency in cash transactions creates concern. Mike Frerix is the Illinois State Treasurer.
That makes them a target for criminal activity, for fraud, or for tax evasion. We would like to prevent that as the chief banking officers in our states.
Frerix and several counterparts pushed for the Safe Banking Act to be introduced in the U.S. House. It removes the risk of federal sanctions on banks that interact with legal state cannabis businesses. Frerix supports similar measures at a state level.
We're offering them a linked deposit program that would provide some lower interest loans to the banks in order to bank this industry.
There's also been a major overhaul to the state's medical cannabis system. Then-Governor Bruce Rauner signed the Alternative to Opioids Act into law last year. The law allows patients with an opioid prescription to substitute that medication with cannabis. It also affects federal participation. Again, Rose Ashby.
We used to ask our patients to have FBI background checks. We no longer do that in our medical program.
But current federal law still leaves open the possibility of prosecution.
Right now, each of these industries is developing on a state-by-state basis. You cannot transport over state lines.
Pickerel says even with legalization, state government should remain vigilant.
I think it's really important that there be a sustained kind of monitoring and effort to do research so we understand better the effects of cannabis.
But the state-federal dichotomy won't be resolved unless Congress reclassifies cannabis. Treasurer Frerix says state policies may prompt federal action.
There are now 33 states that have some form of legal cannabis. This is putting great pressure on Congress to bring federal laws up to date with our states.
Until that happens, medical and recreational cannabis cultivators, distributors, and users will continue to operate in a legal gray area as they wade through the red tape. I'm Chase Cavanaugh.
Rich Egger reports from Tri-States Public Radio in Macomb, and he visited a medical marijuana cultivation facility in West Central Illinois to get that perspective.
You have to drive up a long and winding gravel driveway to reach Nature's Grace and Wellness. There are no signs posted to indicate what's inside. The steel building is red with white trim. It's surrounded by a chain-link fence topped with three rows of barbed wire. You have to buzz security before the gate rolls open to allow you inside the compound. Tim O'Hearn is the chief operating officer for Nature's Grace and Wellness. His family has long been involved in traditional farming, growing corn, soybeans, and wheat, and raising cattle. O'Hearn says they got into the medical marijuana business in July 2015.
The Illinois Medical Cannabis Program started off pretty slowly in 2015-16 and on into 17 with some additional conditions that have been added by the legislature and the adoption of the Alternative to Opioids Act. We're starting to see a market increase in patient adoption.
If Illinois adopts legalized recreational marijuana, is that a business you will also go into?
You know, we can't say definitively without seeing what that legislation and rulemaking process looks like. It's certainly something we'd be very interested in participating in if Illinois does adopt an adult use program.
If you were to go into that field, would you create different products for medical marijuana versus recreational marijuana? Have you looked at that at all?
It's certainly possible. Again, a lot of that would be dictated by the legislation and the rulemaking process. Many states have, you know, different milligram thresholds for recreational and medical products, or different dosing that's available to the end consumer, depending on whether it's an adult use product or a medical product.
What's your biggest seller?
Flower products still sell very well, but we've certainly seen an increase in the adoption of what we call alternative dosage form products, and those would be your edible and oil-based products.
How much of a learning experience has this been for you?
Ooh, I don't know if you can go more than 100%, I guess, but it's certainly been a learning process for me and our entire organization here. This is it's been, you know, the most rewarding and exciting business we've ever been a part of, but it's certainly been a learning process.
What was your motivation for getting into this business?
Really two fronts. One was economic development in our rural community was one of our primary drivers, and the second were the, you know, medical benefits of cannabis. We have family members that had conditions that were on the qualifying condition list and saw the benefits of medical cannabis and how it can help people. I myself have multiple sclerosis, which is a qualifying condition in Illinois, and that really, you know, kind of framed our point of view on whether to become involved in the business.
Tim O'Hearn is COO of Nature's Grace and Wellness. The medical marijuana cultivation facility is located in rural Fulton County. The business employs around 35 full-time workers. O'Hearn plans to expand over the next year. He hopes to hire 40 to 50 more employees. Rich Egger reporting.
Up next on the State of Cannabis, we'll take a look at the different products that could be available if Illinois legalizes recreational use. That's up next on Statewide. We're back on Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. Every day this week, public stations throughout Illinois have been unpacking what legalization of cannabis could mean for the state and its residents. The State of Cannabis is a collaborative reporting effort by public radio stations, and we're presenting that series today on a special episode of Statewide. In today's legal market, there is more than just your typical joint. If you want to get high, there are cookies, gummies, weed-infused drinks, and more. But how might those different products affect you? Jacqueline Driscoll with NPR Illinois tells us more.
Edibles are nothing new. We're talking all the way back to ancient Chinese emperors who used to brew cannabis-infused tea. But the products are evolving, and as more states legalize marijuana, more people are trying them out.
That's why we tell our patients start low and slow.
That's Paul Hunke, the director of cultivation for HCI Alternatives, a medical marijuana dispensary in Springfield and the Metro East. The low and slow mantra is what he tells patients who want to eat marijuana instead of smoke it.
There's a little bit of a time release. I usually tell people, and if you're buying from a dispensary, it's good to give yourself about an hour to kind of let it fully integrate into your system, and then you can kind of determine where you want to go from there. You can always add more. It's a lot harder to take it away.
Some think edibles are a stepping stone into marijuana, but Hunke says you should try smoking it first. That way you get an idea of your dosage, because it metabolizes differently in everyone.
Edibles being 100 milligrams, people end up overdoing it right off the bat.
Hunke is talking about the THC levels in edibles. That's the stuff that gets you high. They measure that in milligrams.
Here, a lot of our chocolate bars are 100 milligrams in a chocolate bar, but you'll get 10 individual pieces, so it'll break down that way. Or you'll get, you know, a can of chocolate-covered coffee beans or chocolate-covered blueberry bites, things like that, and each one will be dosed where the entire package ends up being 100 milligrams.
Hunky says overdoing it isn't going to kill you. You'll just be uncomfortable for a little while.
I always tell people, you know, eat a sandwich or something.
The health effects of edibles hasn't really been studied, though. Dr. Robert Wallace from the University of Iowa was a part of a committee that examined some of the research that's out there about cannabis and health. It didn't include anything about edibles specifically.
It's a legitimate question as to whether the pharmacologic and the health effects of cannabis delivered in food is different than that when delivered when it's smoked or vaped or, you know, other ways you can get it. But we didn't study that. And my sense is there isn't a lot of literature on that either at this point.
And you might be able to taste a little marijuana in your chocolate bar, but it'll pretty much look and smell just like candy, which can be enticing, not just to adults, but kids and animals too. Wallace says there's been calls to the Poison Control Center across the U.S. where children had gotten into and eaten some of the product. Law enforcement says they're gravely concerned about this as well.
It's a big problem to detect because it is in a lot of products. You know, I have actually heard somebody say, well, maybe we should ban all products that might be appealing to children.
That's Ed Wojcicki, the director of the Illinois Chiefs of Police. He says banning edibles is a nice thought, but it would be hard to both legislate and patrol. The group is opposed to legalizing recreational marijuana, and even though the sponsors of the measure say no one will be able to get high in public, he says edibles create a new landscape.
You wouldn't know all the products that marijuana is in, especially edibles. It would be impossible to see in public view or plain view.
Illinois does have a legal limit of THC, like it does with blood alcohol level. It's 5 nanograms, but there's no reliable device to test for it right now. Of course, there's standard sobriety tests, but law enforcement is concerned how edibles, and marijuana in general, could impact their jobs in the future. I'm Jacqueline Driscoll.
We continue our look at the possible legalization of cannabis in Illinois. From WSIU in the Illinois Newsroom, Steph Whiteside explains how some patients are considering marijuana as an alternative to opioids.
Since February, patients in Illinois have been able to swap their opioid prescriptions for marijuana, and many are doing just that.
We have almost 900 patients enrolled in the program now, and over 300 physicians who have created a user account and submitted a physician certification for a patient.
Connie Muller-Moody works on medical cannabis at the Illinois Department of Public Health. The program is open to any patient who has a prescription for opioid medications like OxyContin. The state is still gathering statistics on why patients are participating, but nationwide, chronic pain is the most common reason people turn to medical marijuana, and for some people, pot is more appealing than powerful opioids. Gavin Glass is a student at Southern Illinois University who has suffered from back and nerve pain since he was in high school. He was barely able to get through his classes, he said, and struggled to make it through the day.
I was never actually on any opioids, but they were certainly recommended to me.
He says medical marijuana has made a huge improvement in his life. His joints stopped hurting and he has more energy. But not everyone is sold on the benefits of marijuana, and because the federal government limits research on it, the impact is still uncertain.
The problem is that the medical marijuana is a lot of anecdotal evidence. There's not a lot of true scientific studies out there with double-blind studies or any scientific background whatsoever.
Bill McCreary is a retired pharmacist and member of the Center for Rural Health at Southern Illinois University. He supports the medical marijuana program. And he says opioids carry greater risks than the chemical components of pot.
The long-term effects of opioids are, at this point, we think much more serious than long-term effects of cannabinoids and THC.
Marijuana has fewer side effects and overdoses. In 2017, there were more than 2,000 opioid-related deaths in Illinois. That doesn't mean patients can't overdose on marijuana. They can, though it's extremely unlikely for adults. And even if it happens, it's unlikely to result in death.
With opioids, we know that the neural functioning of the brain is actually altered and it doesn't come back.
Dr. Peter Grinspoon is a physician in Massachusetts, where medical marijuana has been legal since 2012. He believes it's effective, especially for patients who need lifelong pain management.
Your life is so much better on cannabis, which doesn't take anything away from you, than it is on opiates, which sort of sucks the life out of you.
But Grinspoon also sees a role for regulation, particularly when it comes to how medical marijuana is packaged and sold. He's especially cautious about edibles that can appeal to children who are vulnerable to overdosing.
If marijuana or cannabis is a medicine, then don't put it in something that tastes good. You wouldn't put ibuprofen in a gummy bear. Why would you put cannabis in a gummy bear? A 4-year-old kid or a dog wouldn't know the difference, and they'll eat the whole bag.
The Illinois program requires doctors have an existing relationship with the patient requesting marijuana, in part so these concerns can be discussed. For patients like Gavin, it's made a huge difference.
Because I had felt like I had gotten my life back again, and I felt comfortable doing things because I wasn't in pain all the time.
The Alternatives to Opioids program will expire in June of 2020 unless it's extended by the state legislature. Steph Whiteside, Illinois Newsroom.
Northwestern Illinois' Stevenson County is one area where changes in the status of cannabis are being embraced. The people doing it are not necessarily the ones you'd expect. From WNIJ, Guy Stevens has details.
Head a couple of miles west of Lena, halfway between Rockford and Galena in the rolling hills of far northwest Illinois, then along an up-and-down road with patches of freshly laid gravel, and you'll end up at Ron Flegel's farm. That's where I found him and his two German shepherds.
This is Annie. She's the one that'll just lick you to death.
Flegel is the third generation to farm the land here. He raises beef cattle and grows corn, soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa. Now he'd like to add another crop, hemp, a variety of cannabis that contains virtually none of the psychoactive component found in medical or recreational marijuana for producing cannabidiol or CBD oil. Flegel thinks there's a market for the substance used in homeopathic treatments for pain and other conditions.
I guess I like to look at whatever that new opportunity, new experience is. You know, back in 96, I jumped on the ethanol bandwagon and was part of a plant to be built in Lena, Illinois.
It's hard to make a steady living as a farmer on a few hundred acres. He and his son have outside jobs to supplement farm income. Hemp might help, but it has its own headaches. Flegel says seed is expensive. He had to buy specialized machinery to plant and harvest the plant from Australia and Finland for about $300,000. Flegel says the banks won't lend him money for anything related to cannabis, even hemp, and other lenders he's used won't because they don't know how to predict the return from this new crop. For Flegel, this is just about business, not any desire to advance marijuana. He was on the Stevenson County Board when Ingrown Farms proposed a growing facility for the then-new medical marijuana program in Illinois.
I'll be honest, at first I was not in support of it. What swung me was when I learned that it could eliminate up to 98% of seizures in children with epilepsy. And I thought, if that was available to me as a parent, I would go anywhere that I could in this country to do that for my children.
The man who helped change Flegel's mind is himself an unlikely advocate. Stevenson County Board Chairman Bill Hadley is a self-professed conservative Republican.
My dad was a big Eisenhower man, Nixon man, and got my start in politics back in 1976, working for Jim Thompson's campaign and worked on Jim Eggers' campaign and some fine Republican governors we had over the years.
He had to do the research and be convinced himself that there was a real benefit in medical marijuana. Then it became just good economics to push for a growing facility in Stevenson County.
And when they did announce Ingrown Farms was picked, we were delighted because that was our first person in our industrial park.
But the promised boom in medical marijuana failed to materialize. The company says it will expand if that changes or if recreational marijuana becomes a reality in Illinois. Hadley's against that.
I don't believe we need to go down that avenue. I know some of our legislators are interested because of tax revenue, but I think we need to expand the medical part of it.
Illinois is actually doing that with the Opioid Alternative Program and a move to make more conditions eligible for the medical marijuana program. Still, Hadley admits that the facility's expansion for any reason, including recreational use, would be a plus for the county.
That would mean good paying jobs and more revenue to the county. In reference to the property taxes out at Ingrown Farms. Right now, approximately, they're paying about $30,000 in property taxes.
Hadley says that would more than double with expansion. Back on the farm, Ron Flegel's focused on making his hemp operation a reality. He knows it may take a while, but he's thinking long term.
I've got a grandson, so if he'd like to do that, I'd sure like to be able to have the opportunity there for him to farm, if he desires.
In the meantime, Flegel, Hadley, and others like them will keep trying to figure out the changing state of cannabis in Illinois and how to handle it. As Flegel puts it, new day, new challenge. I'm Guy Stevens.
The debate over legalization touches on so many thorny issues: criminal justice reform, health care, and balancing a state budget coated in red ink. It's also an economic issue. From WGLT in Bloomington Normal, Ryan Denham visits a small town in central Illinois where medical marijuana has brought new jobs, new tax revenue, and a hope for more.
Behind a tall security fence and countless coated keypads, the future of the Delavan, Illinois economy is growing under bright lights. There are around 60 workers at this Revolution Enterprises medical marijuana cultivation facility. The 75,000 square foot building does production from start to finish, from seed to packaging. During a recent visit, what's striking is how much of it is done by hand. It's not automated. That means high quality, and that means jobs. Here's Revolution's Senior Vice President for Operations, Todd Sesek.
Obviously, the most care is taken in the grow, but we still have to continue that same delicate care throughout trimming and cure and packaging to get that end product to the customer as highest quality as possible.
The state's medical marijuana program has only around 60,000 patients, but it's injected a lot of life into the local economy in places like Delavan, a town of 1,600, south of Peoria and west of Bloomington Normal. That economic impact could grow with demand if Illinois legalizes recreational marijuana. A report from the Illinois Economic Policy Institute and the Project for Middle Class Renewal at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign forecasts that legalization will create 23,000 new jobs at more than 2,600 businesses in Illinois. Revolution has around 110 employees in Illinois, and Revolution CEO Mark D'Souza says they've already bought 70 more acres in Delavan and want to build another 650,000 square feet of growing and processing space.
I can see that workforce down there on a rotational level being as high as 300 to 350.
City officials say Delavan is already getting over $300,000 in new tax revenue from Revolution, plus another $70,000 for the school district. D'Souza says he sees it as a partnership with Delavan and hopes it'll continue to pay off.
We get a grocery store down there. We get a, you know, maybe even a rotational doctor's office, you know, things that that community has kind of been missing for many years as the economy has kind of waned.
Delavan Mayor Liz Skinner says Revolution has been a good neighbor. Speaking recently on the 21st, Skinner says she has reservations about legalizing marijuana, but thinks it's inevitable.
So if it is going to happen, I would say this. I would certainly want Revolution in our community to be a part of that.
A new report commissioned for the Medical Cannabis Alliance of Illinois found that existing cultivation capacity could meet demand for both medical and recreational use for the first 2 to 4 years. That's space already running or approved by the state. But 5 years after legalization, it says another 1 million square feet of cultivation space would be needed to meet demand from residents and tourists. Delavan isn't the only small town hoping to reap the benefits of expansion. Cresco Labs has a cultivation facility just outside Lincoln in Logan County. City officials there say it employs a few dozen people, though Cresco did not respond to requests for comment. Logan County Board Member Dr. David Hepler sees them as 21st century agriculture jobs.
We've had, like most communities, some losses. A Kroger store had to close, and a bottle plant, which was owned internationally, it's been here for a long time, closed. But, you know, this has been a way to actually create new jobs that weren't there before, but that probably have a long lifespan, but also that, again, fit the culture of this community very well.
There are many unknowns with legalization. The social costs could be more impaired driving, maybe more crashes. Some even speculate about reduced workplace productivity. But in small towns looking for jobs, any jobs, the not-in-my-backyard folks are hard to find. Lincoln Mayor Seth Goodman is also a realtor.
As a matter of fact, I just sold a house located right next to it, and the guy didn't even think twice about it being in his backyard. You know, I mean, it wasn't even something that was even discussed.
He says half the people in his town don't even realize the marijuana facility is there. I'm Ryan Denham.
Our series, The State of Cannabis, continues on Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. This is Statewide, and this week on the program, The State of Cannabis, a series of reports from public radio stations throughout Illinois. A reminder, you can find all of our reporting for this episode and past episodes at statewideshow.com. This week, we are looking at what legalization of cannabis could mean for the state of Illinois and for its residents. Susan Stevens with WNIJ in DeKalb reports attitudes are changing about cannabis use.
It's University Research and Artistry Day at Northern Illinois University, a day when students show off their hard work at the end of the semester. Travis Paquin is a senior in sociology at NIU.
I did my research on the usage, obtainment, and selling practices on a university campus.
His survey of 266 NIU undergraduates showed more than 58% had used marijuana on campus, with more than half buying it off campus. After spending a semester crunching the numbers, Paquin is hesitantly supportive of legalizing recreational cannabis.
As long as people are using it safe and not letting it affect what they're really here for, that's getting the university education.
Opinions were mixed in the Research and Artistry Day crowd.
Things that could get done with the tax money outweigh the negatives of recreational marijuana use.
It should stay illegal because, like, when people take marijuana, they're not, like, aware of their actions.
I don't have very strong opinions against it, particularly, like, I don't use it personally, but, I'm still kind of doing research on it.
I think it helps people with different, you know, things that they're dealing with in their lives.
Students Danny Olin, Murshida Shayera, and Rachel Pollack, and Tiffany Scott, a parent of an NIU student.
It's like that in a lot of states, so why not Illinois?
Why not Illinois? Eli McVeigh is the research editor for Marijuana Business Daily. He's based in Denver, but as a native of Atlanta, Illinois, a small town near Bloomington, he has a special interest in the debate over recreational cannabis in his home state.
Given the situation in Illinois with, you know, a democratically controlled House and Senate and a governor that, you know, made no qualms about his willingness to legalize recreational marijuana in the state, you know, I think that does go along with the shift in Americans' attitudes.
McVeigh says he's analyzed years of national polling by Gallup and the Pew Research Center. Support for legalization has risen steadily over the years, with a sharp increase recently. He says overall, it's at 60%, although most of the polling didn't distinguish between medical and recreational cannabis.
We've seen support rise across political parties, religions, education levels, racial and ethnic groups, gender. They've all increased.
So why the change in attitude from the days of reefer madness and just say no? McVeigh says there are two major reasons driving mainstream acceptance. First, a shift in how the media portrays cannabis.
Coverage, you know, moved away from marijuana in the context of drug trafficking and abuse throughout the 80s and 90s. And then they also found an interesting shift in Americans' attitudes towards the criminal justice system. Marijuana legalization is a social justice issue.
But by no means is America ready to welcome joints next to cigarette packs, marijuana edibles next to Twinkies, or THC vape cartridges at the liquor store. McVeigh says there will always be some who oppose legalization on moral grounds. But most of the opposition he hears has to do with traffic safety and use by teenagers.
Other people, you know, they see it as a kind of a government endorsement of a drug. So, you know, while they may not believe, you know, people that use marijuana should be put in jail, they also, you know, don't want stores popping up and promoting its use.
McVeigh says Illinois has bigger hurdles than public opinion if it's going to proceed with legalizing recreational marijuana. He says if Illinois lawmakers want to take full advantage of a cannabis-created revenue stream, they'll have to license hundreds, if not thousands, of new businesses. I'm Susan Stevens.
With conversations about legalizing recreational marijuana, you also may have heard about CBD. It's a very different hemp product, and it's completely legal. Sarah Jesmer with WNIJ says those in the CBD market are trying to prepare for possible changes on the horizon.
Logan Chase wants his customers to know what they're smoking.
In some cases, if I see something that I've never tried before, I take it upon myself to try it.
Chase welcomes each person who walks through the doors to shop the well-lit shelves of glass bongs, brand-name grinders, and colorful pipes.
Obviously, all this stuff in here is used for tobacco products or your CBD.
CBD is one of the newer items on the menu at DeKalb's Smoke Shop. CBD is one of the two most prevalent components of the cannabis plant. The other is THC, which widely is referred to as the stuff that gets you high. What customers buy from Chase is legal, a product of the hemp plant.
So the sisters are legal and the brothers legal.
Hemp products are legal, so long as they have under 0.3% of THC. CBD products range from lotion and gum to oils used for health benefits or smokables.
You can even smell it. It's actual plant.
Under Illinois law, medical cannabis is also legal, but shop owners need to apply for a license, and it costs well over $400,000 to go through that process. Now, remember, CBD is different than marijuana, but they are derivatives of the same plant, so there are some similarities. Still, Chase says, from his perspective, it's too expensive to consider joining the medical market.
We're kind of just stuck in the middle of it. We can choose what we want to do, but it depends if you have the funding.
Elijah Olson also works in a CBD shop. He's in Chicago. We met in a public library because his shop's owners were uncomfortable having a reporter enter their store.
Would you say that there's a weed is sort of legal in Illinois at the moment? Would you say that?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Olson's been working at the CBD shop just under a year. He says the products he sells are made in states where recreational marijuana use is legal. It's unclear how tight the THC levels are regulated by the time they hit the shelves here in Illinois. Customer feedback is important for Olson, he says. That's how he's able to understand the effects of what's in the products he sells.
I think companies need to be transparent in what they're selling and creating, and I don't think most of them truly are right now.
In the back room of a place called Galaxy Starship, Tom Allen unboxes fresh CBD oil to add to his shelves. He owns a smoke shop in Sycamore, Illinois.
We're not going to get into marijuana. We're heavy into CBD and other herbs, things like that, that can help you, naturally.
Allen says he buys his CBD products online to resell. And as far as testing his shop's stock?
Oh, no, that's why we go with the reputable company. That way we make sure that it's pure.
Customers can buy gas masks and bongs here, too. But Allen says he's not interested in entering the potential marijuana market.
I think legalizing is a big mistake anyway. I think, I think that the drug cartel still has their network, and they're going to bring a lot other harder drugs down the pipeline once you take that away from them.
And one of the ways for illegal dealers to do this is the dark web. Christopher Cavelli is a spokesman with the Lake County Sheriff's Department. They have a cybercrimes unit.
Their ability to remain anonymous certainly is a key factor and a hurdle that we have to move over when investigating these types of crimes.
Cavelli says investigations sometimes begin with tips from the post office or the community.
What the future holds with decriminalization of any drug law, it's yet to be seen.
But Chase, back in DeKalb,
have a great day, boss.
You too.
Doesn't think illegal markets are going anywhere.
People are still going to look for the best price. And if you have that better price, why would they go to somewhere that's legal?
For now, it's business as usual for shops like these until signed legislation shows what could be in store. I'm Sarah Jesmer.
Today we're bringing you a special episode of Statewide. It's reporting from a series called The State of Cannabis. Public radio journalists from around Illinois looked at various angles to the possible legalization of recreational marijuana. We're presenting those segments today. And a reminder, you can always catch Statewide at this time and follow us on the web at statewideshow.com and on Facebook. Just look for Statewide Show. With all the talk of legalizing marijuana in Illinois, what are the concerns among law enforcement? The Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says she's concerned about how juveniles will be affected by legalization and how the state will address cannabis-impaired driving. She says it requires a different test than the one used for alcohol.
And there are only, in the entire state of Illinois now, there are only 50 police officers who are certified to do those tests. In Champaign County, we have one. So that's a safety issue and a funding issue. that, you know, that we need to address before we can move forward.
Reitz says funding should be set aside to train more police officers to test for cannabis use among drivers, and says prosecutors are working with members of the legislature on that issue. This week here on Statewide, we brought you a series, The State of Cannabis. But before we wrap up, we thought we'd check back in with some of our reporters who say there may still be more questions than answers.
My name is Steph Whiteside. I'm with WSIU and Illinois Newsroom. Questions I still have about the state of cannabis in Illinois with regards to the medical aspect. First of all, who is using it and why? These programs in Illinois are still fairly young, so there's not a lot of data yet. I do know that it's being collected. So what are the conditions people are trying to treat? And what research do we have or do we need on how medical marijuana can be used in those? And also, doctors are so reluctant to talk about this and they're so hard to find. So how do we make it easier for patients to connect with a doctor who is willing to certify them for medical marijuana, who is willing to have those conversations? How do we protect those doctors from fears about losing funding or having their license impacted?
I'm Ryan Denham from WGLT in Bloomington Normal. And after all this reporting, I think the questions that I still have as it relates to the economic impact of potentially legalizing marijuana is how permanent the economic impact will be. I think we're thinking of it in terms of, you know, great, 23,000 new jobs might be created and 2,600 new businesses will be created around the state, right? But that is those projections, I think, are in a vacuum, right? So what if, what if Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, Kentucky, what if everybody legalizes over the next 10, 20 years? What if something happens federally that makes that whole issue moot? So yeah, I think that's sort of what I'm thinking about. I think this is a very, very short-term way we're thinking about it, and what are the long-term implications?
I'm Sarah Jesmer. I'm with WNIJ out of DeKalb. I still have questions about the state of cannabis, about why it's taken so long to have such intense discussions about legalization, whether for or against. I think that as a state, we've been looking at cannabis, Cannabis Control Act passed in the 70s, and it's now 2019, and so it's been a long time coming, and these are valuable conversations that we're having.
Something I think people should know about legalization and efforts to expand it, you're not weighing somebody who's using marijuana against what might be happening to their body and their mind if they're using nothing. You're weighing marijuana against other medications that have very strong side effects in many ways. So you have to weigh the balance for people that are going to need some form of pain management for the rest of their lives, potentially.
I think that audience can consider that this is kind of in a speculative phase for everybody. It's a new thing for everyone. As people look at potential legalization, I think that it comes with the birth of a whole lot of new policies, and that can be found in markets, law enforcement, in the way that you interact with your doctor. And I think that, it's not just one bill that's going to be signed. It's going to be a whole wave of them.
That's Sarah Jesmer with WNIJ, also Ryan Denham with WGLT, and Steph Whiteside, who's with WSIU in the Illinois Newsroom. The State of Cannabis has been a collaborative reporting effort by stations across Illinois. You can find links to all the stories in the series at our website, statewideshow.com. Thanks for for joining us for this special episode, and we'll be back again next week with more reports and conversations from in and around Illinois. I'm Sean Crawford. Check out our past episodes at statewideshow.com. Statewide is a production of NPR Illinois with help from other Illinois public radio stations.